message that is always brought forth is, hey, it is always Black History Month because Black history is just history. And no one seems to listen to that from, you know, March until December, till January. But then February, they're like, yeah, let's color this Martin Luther King face. Let's go. I don't understand. It's not a game. It's a rich thing.
Peeps, this is Alyssa, and I'm here with my co-host and faux little bro, Andre.
And welcome to another episode of Teachers Like Us.
Woo! Episode 2, season 3. Call if you hear me.
All of that, yeah.
Oh my goodness. So, the date today, should I say the date today? Because I don't know when you're putting this out. Well, whenever you're putting this out, it is the end of January, which means we are heading into
Black History Month.
There we go. So we did a whole podcast last year about the foolishness you guys are doing. Okay. I'm going to roll back to that podcast a little bit. Like, I wish you could just like insert clips from it, because so I posted a quick clip of last year's Black History Month, and people were upset. Like, I got the most unfollows that day on my Instagram. People were like, why can't we do better? I'm like, I don't know. Why can't you do better? It's not my fault for calling it out. Like, fix yourself.
It's weird. I don't know what, it's, how do I say it? Like, it's always weird around this time because everyone's like, yeah, we need to be black, blackity, black, 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 and do everything black because it's Black History Month. And I feel like all of the like black content creators, especially like in education, the message that is always brought forth is, hey, it is always Black History Month because Black history is just history. And no one seems to listen to that from, you know, March until December, till January. But then February, they're like, yeah, let's color this Martin Luther King face. Let's go. I don't understand.
Yeah. I think the thing that I'm struggling with right now, again, as a Black content creator, is obviously the influx of people that are making their way to my space right now. So my Instagram, of course, always around like really big events, Black History Month, anytime, you know, cops are acting a fool in the States, which is every day. But like, you know what I mean? Like, all of that stuff happens. I get like an influx of people that like have come to suddenly listen to what I have to say, which I think is super weird. But yesterday, a really big, like anti-racist teacher who Instagrams, just did like a quick little Q&A on her stories, and somebody, like one of her followers, because she's American based, one of her followers asked her, can you recommend like any Canadian like for Black History Month that you really love? And I was so surprised that she only had one. Like she only knew one person. Mm-hmm. And I was like not that she should know me, she doesn't follow me. And so I didn't expect to be on her radar, but I was just genuinely surprised that, again, in the conceptualization of Black History Month, somehow Black Canadians and Black Canadian history is always missing. And I don't know what to do to push that any more to the forefront, you know, than I have been. Because I thought I was doing a good job in kind of making progress and making our history a little bit more known. But I guess, you know, with my piddly little 21K followers.
My peasant followers.
My peasant peeps. Sorry peeps out there. But apparently that's not enough. Like, I honestly am genuinely surprised that Americans are still like, I don't know, like, well, huh?
Not to, I don't want to crack on our Americans too much, but there's still Americans that think, like, you know, we live in igloos up here, even though if you live in Windsor in Detroit, you can literally look at Windsor from Detroit, or look at Detroit from Windsor, because it's a small body of water that separates the two, and clearly see that, you know, we share a lot of the same experiences. And I think that's what the problem is. Like, when we talk about Black history, it's American Black history. I think mm-hmm. that's what needs to be added to it. We don't really spend time talking about the influential Canadians that were Black that are part of our history as well. Or it could just be that people don't even know that they were Canadian at all, which is sad in some sense, because it goes along with the whole thing of, like, Canada being that, like, sister country. Like, we just do everything that the States does, mm-hmm. and we don't have, like, our own. We tend to be viewed, especially by Americans, as, like, we don't have our own, like, history. We don't have our own way of living, that we're kind of just copying the things that they do. And it just so happens that there was a war that happened that that America didn't win. That's why they don't own Canada. That's literally it. but it's really important, especially for our Canadian listeners, that, like, as much as we were just saying, like, hey, you know, make sure you're talking about the impact of Black people in history all year long when you're teaching it. It's in these times when we're, like, tokenizing Blackness during Black History Month. If you're going to be one of those people that is really trying to, again, go hard during the 28 days, then you should really try only focusing on Canadian, Black Canadians that have had some sort of influence on our history. And maybe by doing that, it can help get the word out, because there's still, like, there's Canadians that don't know that we have, like, you know, spies that were Black, or Black Air Force men and Black cowboys and all of that. So, like, this, and the only way that those things are going to come out is if we're actually teaching them all year round. I don't know about, like, our American listeners. I don't know what you guys need to do, but understand, we're here too. We have our people too. Mm-hmm. They have Canadian passports, and they need to be respected for their Canadian passports. And Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and Harriet Tubman, all amazing freedom fighters, but there are Canadians too that need to be recognized.
Yeah, and I really do wonder, kind of, at what point is it willful ignorance on the part of, you know, on the part of Americans? And, like, I don't know. I don't want this to be like a Americans, you're hella ignorant, but, like, I kind of feel like that we always know about American history, right? Like, we've researched it. It's in our forefront. We watch American news. Like, everything about our existence is heavily Americanized. And again, America will be like, ah, we're the superpower. Like, of course you should listen to us. But yeah. Like, part of me is like, where is the consideration? Where is the holistic understanding of Blackness? And I find it really difficult, especially as I look at a lot of, especially, like, people who are claiming to be anti-racist and anti-bias educators, but have a very narrow focus on what that means and a very American lens. And then I wonder, like, how intersectional is your activism? If your activism is solely focused on one area and one kind of Blackness, is it really anti-racist? Because you're forgetting and relegating all of these Black Canadians to, like, they're not even footnotes in history, because they're not even mentioned. Like, as much as people are like, we don't hear about any Black people at all, like, we don't hear about any Black Canadians. Like, mm-hmm. I guarantee you, if you ask someone to name 10 historical Black Canadian figures, they'd be like,
Yeah, Like, I feel like when you think of even the word black, like, as an identification, that's something that happens in America. There's Americans identify as being black, whereas here in Canada, because we're known for being, like, you know, the melting pot and multicultural and things like that, so the black people that are here, they're going to identify with their culture first. Or where the, like, for me, I'm a black man, but I might first say that I am Jamaican, mm-hmm. over saying that I am black. So I can have an understanding of my Jamaican history and not even identify those Jamaican Canadians as being black Canadians that are a part of black Canadian history. And that's just in the fabric of how we, as the quote unquote melting pot, kind of see things. I feel like the outside world, when we think of Western society, we think of the United States of America. When we think of being black or identifying as black, you take that to be the black people that are in America, and that's how they identify, because that's all that they have to identify, because they were taken from their homes as slaves and brought to the Americas, where the same things happened in Canada, but through immigration, we've now come to a place where we're kind of identifying with where we've come from, which is still bad, because, like you said, because of that, that means that there's a whole bunch of Canadians and even more Americans that cannot identify people that have played a part in Black history. And that sucks. And as we were saying before, I don't really know how to change that. Like, I can only have assignments where we talk about, like, Willie O'Ree so much, mm-hmm. right? For you to kind of get it in your head, like, hey, there is, yes, there might be black hockey players now, but there was one main one, and that guy was Canadian, and they might not care about that in the States, right? But here, where hockey has such a big influence, we have to make sure that we're bigging up that person's name and making sure that that is something that any Canadian, not just black Canadians, but any Canadian can recall and have that person in their mind as a part of our history.
So then I guess the question is, I don't know, how do we increase that footprint? How do we make it so that, you know, our educators here are really, again, oh my gosh, I'm going to use the word again, but really contextualizing Black history in a Canadian context, instead of only relying on American history, because it really does erase Blackness here. Like, I don't know, it makes it seem like Black people don't live here.
For sure it does. And it's I think it's because, like, the American story overall is what has written history. Like, we talk about history, or as history teachers, you should be having the conversation with your students at some point in time that history is written by the winner. So whoever won, they're the ones that are kind of dictating what has happened in history. And for our Western society, the U.S. has been the face of what Western society is, that you forget that about Canada. Again, like I said before, you forget about Canada. You think Canada is just living the exact same life, just like the B-list version of the American life. So you want to get to America, you want to get to America, because that's where all of the dreams can happen. That's where everything can come true. That's where all of the flash and the pizzazz is. And nothing's really happening up here, which is hard, because, you know, we live up here and we know things are happening up here. We have racism that happens up here the same exact way that it happens in the States. It just might not be televised the exact same way. And again, it's really hard to, I don't know how to put myself, like, I'm, as much as we're maybe challenging teachers to make sure that they are showing that Canadian content in their classrooms, especially in Black history, I don't know how you get an American teacher to do that.
Which I think is really interesting, because So again, you mentioned Willie O'Ree in Looking at Hockey, which coincidentally, obviously, I just posted about the Colored Hockey League of the Maritimes. So the funny thing is that like 22 years before the NHL, the Colored Hockey League of the Maritimes existed. And I feel like had I not been a historian and like really interested in the way kind of, you know, history plays itself out, like I never would have known that so much of the way hockey is played today. You're gonna have some editing to do today.
Not at all. It's all staying in. Today. They're gonna know you can't speak English.
So much of the way hockey is played today and understood today, and so much of that game can be attributed to Black Canadians. And you know, before Willie O'Ree, the funny thing is so Willie O'Ree is in the Scholastic books, is like the one that we know because he is the one that is known for breaking the color barrier in hockey. But it was actually Herb Carnegie that came before him. So he was 16 years, Herb Carnegie was 16 years older than Willie O'Ree, and was actually asked to play in like the NHL, like, you know, like the B teams or whatever those are called, like, you know, the step, whatever. The ones that they call up. I know, like, yeah. For basketball, it's a G League. That's, oh my gosh, how Black, right? I always know the basketball stats. But like in hockey, so Herb Carnegie was asked to, like, they were going to take him from the Canadian leagues and put him in these, or wherever he was playing. I may be mistaken, but I can't even think now. Yeah, and play down, and he said no. And so Willie O'Ree ended up being the one that was like, you know what, I'll do this, when it was his time, and ended up being the one that was most known. But yeah, Herb Carnegie came before him. And those are like things that people don't know.
Not at all. I think it's also like, again, there's no, there, when you think of those Canadian figures, it's not as much spotlight on them as there was for those major Black figures in America. So we, like, people aren't going to think it's important because we don't have, like, you know, a Canadian version of Martin Luther King, or we don't have a Canadian version of Harriet Tubman or something like that. So,
but where do you think Harriet Tubman was leading people, though? Like, I'm so confused. How does the story work? How does the story work in America? Tell me.
I know that.
And I know, so, you know that, but that's why I said, how does the story work in America? Like, what version of this story? Does it end at the border? Like,
you got to New York and then, you know, people forgot.
So, like, I feel, you know what I feel like, too? I feel like Canada is very much placed in this utopian safe space, right? Like, if they're looking at the Underground Railroad, I feel like, yes, it does stop at like New York, and then like, and then they got to Canada and they were free and everything was perfect. And I'm like, boop, boop, boop. No, it wasn't. Like, you know, slavery was practiced in Canada, I think, what, for, was it 200, 400? I don't even know. Over 200 years? I think it was 210. I can't be sure off the top of my head.
I was about to say, I'm not even going to jump in to add any number there. I have no idea.
I'm not an encyclopedia. but yeah, like, I don't know. I think today I just feel very frustrated with where we're heading, with the way we're heading into Black History Month. Because I don't know that I feel any better this year than I did last year. Like, last year, I felt, I think, more nervous about people doing dumb things like slavery reenactments. Don't do it. But, like, this year, I'm not so concerned about, like, that. But I'm just concerned about the representation and about the way this carries out throughout the rest of the year. And, like, I don't know. I think more than anything, I guess, as I have dug into, as I start to dig into like history and things like that, I really just noticed so much of an absence. And I really think that impacts the way that Black Canadians see themselves and they identify. Just like you were saying, like, look, I really identify as Jamaican. Like, I don't, I'm not telling anybody I'm Canadian. Like, and I think that's great in the sense that, you know, we have those connections to places. But I think about people like me, and this is kind of how my historian journey kind of took shape, was in just looking at my own lineage and tracking it and understanding that I had to, like, as I continued to track it further and further back, it was like Canada, 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 Canada. Like, there, we've been here so long that for some of us, I don't know how that identity takes shape. Who then am I? Like, I don't know.
That's a really interesting point too, because again, with Canada, or me getting to identify with where I came from as opposed to being Black or being a Black Canadian, I can say like, hey, I'm a Jamaican first. It kind of separates you from all of that. Whereas in this, when you look at our neighbors in the States, I identify as Black because that's all I have. Right. So there, I might be. So for you, Alyssa, when you're doing your digging and you're seeing like, hey, look at all of these, look at how my lineage is so attached to Canada overall. In the States, all they have is the States. The States is their home. So anybody that was Black was now that their champion, right? So you've grown up, you're in the same or similar situation that I'm in, and you've been able to overcome obstacles, and now you're actually going out and teaching these things to different people and inciting revolutions, right? Whereas in like modern day, even now, Canada, I'm not going to identify with somebody as Canadian because, you know, my parents don't really have that attachment to the country because they were born somewhere else and grew up somewhere else for a good amount of their life before they came to Canada. Like, it seems like Canada's history is not as important because Canada to a lot of people is like a destination. So they worked hard to get here, and now they're here and they're just trying to make life better for their families. Whereas in the States, even if you like in modern state history, anyone who's Black, their connection really is the States. And that's all that they have to hold on to. So they do a little bit more. They have that attachment there. Whereas you, Alyssa, have that attachment, but maybe I don't have that same Canadian attachment. So the importance of Canadian Black history might not be there for me, which is, again, it's a weird place to be in and then have to teach from. Because if me being Black and born in Canada don't really have that attachment to it, how am I going to expect somebody who is white and born in Canada and has that Canadian attachment, so has like the lineage of parents and grandparents and forefathers being born in Canada, how am I expecting you to now champion my history, what's supposed to be my history? It's difficult. It's a weird place.
I agree with you. The only reason I'm laughing right now is because as soon as you said forefathers, I immediately get that vision of like the ponytail at the back and like your hair is like all bald at the front and you tried to like pull your hair back into this low ponytail.
And you spoke in 4 score and 5 years ago.
That's literally what I imagine. But I think it's such a great point. Like, how do we expect people to care, I guess, is the bottom line. And I think that's kind of the crux of like anti-racism and anti-bias work, is that there's that empathy piece, that humanizing piece. Like, you need to want to care. Like, there has to be some kind of pull that makes you want to understand the humanity of people. And I think it's important to note that, like, you know, the Maroons who arrived in Canada were were Jamaican immigrants who came over. Jamaican immigrants were coming over in the 50s as part of the West Indian scheme, like the West Indian domestic scheme. And so, like, there are so many pieces of our history that are kind of linked to other countries. And I think we do a good job at recognizing the importance of other countries and their, you know, fantastic contributions, but we really do a horrible job at recognizing, like, Black Canadian history and anything past, like, I want to say, like, we're really good at, like, civil rights stuff. Like, we love a good civil rights movie, picture, poem, like, anything that reminds us of that, like, MLK era and, like, March on Washington, we are here for. But anything before that is, like, what Black people? What? You existed? What were y'all doing? You mean you were just out in the field? Like, y'all had lives? And so I don't know. Okay, here's another thing that I struggle with, and I'm going to, like, link this. How do we now do that, especially now when teachers are, like, burnt all the way out? And even teaching day to day seems like a struggle. And they're like, man, now I got to talk about Black people too. Yep. Should have been doing that from September, but I'm like...
I think the truth is, and as much as nobody will say it, I'll say it. The truth is, it's not going to happen. People are going to say, hey, this curriculum, they're getting that bare minimum curriculum from me in this online world, and that'll be it. And if, you know, if I send a coloring page or I do one research assignment where they're researching a famous Black Canadian or something like that, that is all that I'm going to do, because I don't have the energy to do anything else. And it's, again, it's a weird place to be in, a place where, you know, hey, I know I said a lot in the last episode, saying, like, hey, it's hard to really be showing that I care that much, because I don't have the attachment that I'm used to having to my students. So it's hard to kind of now open boxes and try new things, or especially if you're a new teacher and you're like, hey, I've never taught Black history before, and I was going to start on, when is February 1st, Friday or Monday or whatever.
Yeah,
I think right. Friday. I was going to start then, and it's going to be my first time doing it. Like, I can't imagine where you are right now. And I think overall, like, we're doing this back and forth, but I think at the end of the day, the answer to the question of, like, hey, how do you do this, is we don't know. I don't know how to make it important to you. Like, I know it's important. I know it's something that needs to be done. And like Alyssa just said, it's something that should have happened since September. You should have started already, mm-hmm. because it should be a part of just history in general. But if you haven't, like, I don't know what to do to make it important to you. I know that it is important, and if you are somebody who is just starting out, that it is important to find some sort of attachment and connection to the things that you're teaching and the things that you are interested in and the students are interested in, and then bring that into the classroom. But it's going to be hard, especially in this online world, but you got to do it. You have to do it.
So
you have to.
I guess what I will say is that I feel like I need to say that we don't always have the answers, and I don't want people to come to this podcast always expecting things to kind of end in this nice little, like, neat package of, like, here's a bunch of resources that you can check out.
They're not teachers pay teachers.
We're not teachers pay teachers. And don't go on teachers pay teachers and buy some garbage Black History Month thing. That's probably designed by a teacher that has no clue what they're doing. So what I will say is this. In trying to unpack Black history this year, especially as we're sitting in the midst of, like, chaos and fog and messiness, make your Black History Month unit, if it's going to be a unit again, we're not advocating for a unit, right? We're advocating for September. But if you are the person that is, you know, starting February 1st, make it light this year, and not light in content, but light in spirit. Find the joy in blackness this year. Amanda Gorman just had that amazing speech at the inauguration, and yes, she's not Canadian, but maybe then you tie her to Dion Brand, who is an amazing Canadian author. It really is as simple as a Google search sometimes. And so I understand that nobody really wants to create a whole new lesson, but take things that already exist and, you know, figure out a way to celebrate greatness. Like, find the cool things that exist in Black Canadian history, especially, just to show your students that they matter, that they're valued, that they're seen. I cannot tell you what a different experience my schooling would have been if I could have seen myself more in everything that we did. And that's not just saying, like, show me Beyonce. You like that comparison? Clearly I'm Beyonce. I'm saying, show me blackness that exists in Canada. Show me cool things that we have done. So that way I don't just see us in slavery and in civil rights struggles and in, like, all these heavy things that I'm constantly like, man, we done been through it. I think that much is clear. So I will say this year for 2021, and maybe even moving forward, find, like, celebrate blackness, find some really cool things, and go for it. It's not your job to unpack, you know, all of these struggles with them in this month. Like, this month is about celebrating blackness. So do that. Okay.
Okay. I would say, for, I know we kind of like bashed our American teachers a little bit, but for our American teachers or teachers are around the world that, in this time, everyone kind of focuses on that American Black history. I would challenge you to focus on some other countries. Yes, we want you to focus on Canadians, so, and show that Canadians have a voice, especially if you're a teacher in America, especially if you teach in, you know, like I mentioned before, if you teach in Detroit, where you're looking across the water at Windsor, know that there's things happening in Canada that have that similar experience or share. Yeah, like, we share that similar experience. So you can talk about Canadians as well. You can add that. That's something that you can add. Black Canadians is something you can add to your unit that you've already planned on teaching or something like that. And for anyone that's listening, like, just around the world in general, it's really cool that it, and it's a really cool opportunity right now, especially in the online world, where all of the kids, no matter what, if you're teaching a kid, they have access to Google, because if you can see them, or if you're teaching them online, that means they're using the internet. Get them to start searching up some new names, mm-hmm. names that they've never heard of before. So that you could be a teacher in Australia and you have a really cool Black Australian history unit for that you use for Black History Month. And now try branching out. And when we say branch out, now doesn't mean that you branch out to Martin Luther King. No, okay. We know. And amazing guy. Like,
amazing guy.
His name gets brought up all the time when people are like, hey, forget American Black history, but Black history in America. Tired of talking about Dr. Martin Luther King. Like, he was amazing, and all the things that he accomplished in the amount of time that he was around was great and should be celebrated at all times. However, there are other there's other people out there. There are other Canadians out there, especially, that have done great things that have gone unnoticed. There's people right now, and I think that's something that we've mentioned in the podcast, and the last time we did this was to mention, in keeping it light, like Alyssa said, and keeping your unit light and looking at ways to celebrate, try and look up like some new people that are doing extraordinary things here in 2020 and 2021 and 2019, whatever it is.
And not Drake. Nobody mentioned Drake. Tell Drake to sit out. He's not the only Black Canadian that exists.
All right. Yeah. Forget Aubrey Graham.
Someone's going to forward this because you know Canadians are just like, everybody knows everybody. So some person's like, I know him.
I know where Drake lives. That's fine. Tell him pull up. But go look up some new people. There's new people doing amazing things that are starting companies, that are being the youngest to do this in their fields or in their sport or in their industry. So try looking up some new people.
Yeah,
like and celebrating these new people. That way, when that, you know, 12-year-old child that you're teaching right now, when they're 30, the only name that they can think of when they think of Black history shouldn't be Martin Luther King anymore.
Agreed.
Right. And again, yes, that student is going to know Martin Luther King's name. He has a whole like celebration and weekend and holiday in the States. So if you're in the States, you're going to know who he is. But there's that person that is just starting out now, like that's, you know, 22, 23, that should be like a name that comes automatically to them once that 12-year-old student gets to 30 now.
Yeah, man. And I think that's it.
For sure. I don't have anything else to say. Again, like I said before, we don't have all the answers, but you come here to hear our perspective. And I'm hoping that is what we do on a weekly basis, that we're never going to say that, hey, we do what we say. We are not dictators that way. Only in our households are we. But on this platform, we're trying to use it in the most responsible way that we can. And that is just to tell you, hey, go do something, go try something different. Even if you're not attached to this history, even if you don't find any importance in it, look at the faces that you're teaching, whether they're little circles online or if they're actually in the classroom with you this year.
I still got little circles.
look at those faces and say, okay, what can I do to show that face that they are represented in what is going on in the classroom? So they are represented in history. And it just so happens that we're using this month to celebrate Black History Month, so make sure you actually do it,
please. And also go Google windows, mirrors, and sliding doors. That's your Google for today, because it'll explain to you why this is important regardless of who you're teaching.
Thank you. Again, you can follow us wherever podcasts are available. You can look us up on Instagram at Teachers Like Us, and you can follow myself or Alyssa respectfully, especially during this time. Follow Alyssa.
Yeah, I got Alyssa has a whole bunch of Canadian history, Black Canadian history resources. Like, I'm out
so
here
much content
doing
so
the
much
work content. So follow me at Alyssa G Titer. You're gonna have to Google that and figure out how to spell it. Find me.
Yeah, follow Alyssa. You can follow me. You're not gonna find much content outside of me raising my gremlins right now, because that's my focus.
That's Black joy.
Yeah, so you can follow me at iamandre.m.
All right.
Thank you, and we'll see you all next week.
Peace out.